I will tell you, he has something for you, so I hope you would take notes. We have that red, yellow card out there if you want one to take notes, but take some notes. So let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Man, we've had a great time coming into your presence to worship you, to lift you, to stand in awe of who you are, how great you are, and the love that you have for us. And Father, we're coming in with round two. Father, we declare that you have something for our hearts today that would just take us to the places and the plans and the great things you have for us. So we say, I have ears to hear what the Lord has to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to start with a story. So long, long time ago, like decades ago, Jack and I were out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, going to Bible school, and we had this couple that we were really good friends with, and we rented an apartment, and I think it was as big as the stage. That was it. Kitchen, bathroom, living room. This is it, baby. Okay. So we're hanging out with our good friends, and so I wasn't eavesdropping, but if this is as big as your apartment, you hear it all. So Jack and his friend, they just loved the Lord, and they were just excited to be. We were in Tulsa just studying the words of God. I, at that point, said I would never go back to school. So Jack was going to school because I was like, no way. But I'm listening, okay? So I'm listening, and Jack and his buddy, they're, all of a sudden I'm like, you guys are so goofy. But this is their conversation. Hey, Rex, when we get to heaven, who do you want to talk to? And they're like little boys jumping around. Now, if you knew Jack and you knew Rex, I already knew the answer. They're like, oh, I want to talk to the Apostle Paul. The Pauline revelations. I just can't wait to get up there. So I thought, and they're just so goofy. And this conversation went on for a couple of years. They're like, oh, man, I'm just going to go quiz Paul on all of this. And I'm thinking, when I get up there, I want to talk to Adam and Eve. Like, I have a little bone to pick with y'all. Nobody else ever thought that? You're so holy. Gosh. All right, so here's my question. What great person would you like to talk to if you could have a conversation? Okay? Preferably somebody that's gone on, but, would it be Abraham Lincoln? I don't know. I thought he was just pretty amazing. Mother Teresa, Moses. Moses, he had to take care of these guys moaning. How many of them? 3 million? I don't know what it was. Millions of people moaning and groaning. I would like to sit down with him and say, how did you do that? Of course, your Bible will tell you, all right? So, these are great people. Who would you like to talk to? Now, obviously, you all would say, what would be your answer? Jesus. I know, you guys. Okay. So where am I going with this? Today, we're going to talk about if you could have Jesus come down and sit next to you and talk to you, what would he say to you? What would you say to him? Okay? What would you say to him? Okay? So we're going to go through dialogues in the Bible where Jesus has a few things to say, and he has things to say to us, okay? Let me say this. You can have him talk to you every single day. He gave you this book, okay? He talks to you through the book. Okay, so here we go. First question. What would Jesus say if he talked to you, all right? Better yet, what would he say to you so you could say to somebody else, all right? So what would he say if he came down and sat next to you? What would he say to you? But better yet, what would he say to you that would go to somebody else? Like all you moms and dads and grandmas and aunties and uncles, what would he say to you that he wants you to say to your kid? Kids. I have kids. Okay. Okay. So write this down. What would Jesus say? All right. So open up your Bibles. We're going to stick in John, the Gospel of John, for quite a bit. So open up your Bibles. You know, it's really good to take a Bible with you to church. It's just kind of a novel idea. I think it's just wonderful. I know you all can do this, but I get so lost in this. Lane was trying to find this. Okay. I get the Bible. So just me. That's my personality. Take your Bible. All right. So John chapter 8, verse 3. Here we go. And he, Jesus, was speaking All right? And the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. Everybody say, oh no. That's bad. Okay? That is bad. You don't want to be that lady. You don't want to be that lady and the shame that they are about ready to dump on her. Okay? Keep reading. So the lady that they caught in the act of adultery, they put her in front of a crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. What does the law of Moses say? The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Okay, anybody familiar with the Old Testament? Okay, the Old Testament, the law, it was right. They were right. The law says, hey, get your rocks. Let's go stone her. Okay? So they're asking Jesus, hey, what about the law? All righty. Okay, keep reading. Let me say this, though. So the law is pick up your rocks and stone her because she got caught in this act of adultery. But Jesus has come to the planet, and he's come to bring us a new covenant, a covenant that's better, that's going to act better and say better. But he's on the planet right now, still under the old covenant. But he is coming to give a better covenant. But he's on the planet right now, and he is still under the old covenant, okay? So let me also explain this. I got all these little rabbit trails, okay? Under the old covenant, sin is sin. And under the new covenant, guess what? Sin is sin. Everybody say, sin is sin. I know. Okay, it hasn't changed. All righty? All right, verse 6. So they caught this lady. They throw him in front of Jesus, and they say, what do you think? Okay? So they're trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. You know, people are still doing that. They try to trap you, and then they get their phone while you're talking, and they're recording it, and then they're going to send it to TikTok or whatever talk it is and blast it over it. People are still doing that. Nothing's changed. People are people. All right. Keep reading. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. I've been meditating in Proverbs for a month. You know, a wise person. Not saying nothing. He's a pretty wise person. So he's not saying anything. They're poking him. And he's just, no. Okay. So they kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and he said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers, you know, those are the religious guys and the Pharisees and all those guys. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the women. You know why they said the oldest? Because they've lived on the planet a whole lot longer, and they've had a lot of more sins. So they're like, oh, man, I'm out of here, okay? And then everybody's gone. Okay, let's keep reading verse 10. Then Jesus stood up again, and he said to the woman, right? Jesus said, the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, the woman who was a sinner, right? Okay, he said, where are your accusers? Didn't any of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I, go and sin no more. If you're taking notes, here we go. If Jesus could come and talk to you and I, what would he say? Because, you know, a lot of us feel condemned. What would he say? I don't condemn you, right? Neither do I. I don't condemn you, all right? And I don't know if you know this, but most people that live on this planet live with like a shadow of condemnation in their life. Because of life. They just feel this, you know, I feel guilty. Oh man, Jesus, you know, I've did something wrong. Jesus must be really disappointed with me. I just feel so condemned. I feel so guilty. There's people that just feel like that all the time, okay? Now, can you imagine feeling guilty in front of Jesus? All right? So I have to say this, though. If you feel condemned before God, before Jesus, before a person who represents God, okay, you know what they have done? They have put a verdict on you. They have put a sentence on you. All right, so if you got caught doing something, and then most likely you would have gone and had a court case, and most likely they would have decided, hey, you are guilty, you did something wrong, so now we have a sentence put on you. Okay, now there's a verdict on you. All right, so many people walk around with that verdict, that sentence, that guilt, because I muffed up. I sinned, all right? But listen to what Jesus says, right? Jesus comes and he says to this lady who got caught. She got caught in what? Sin? Jesus comes to the lady and says, yeah, you know, you got caught in sin, but I am not going to condemn you, all right? Isn't that wonderful? Whew. Just everybody just chuck the guilt off, all righty? Now, Jesus could have said, you know, I'm here to bring in this new covenant. You know, it's going to be good. But right now, I'm on the old covenant. So everybody, pick up your rocks. Let's chuck it on the lady and kill her. Okay, he could have said that because he was under the old covenant, all right? But aren't you glad he didn't? Whew, I am, all right? So Jesus says, hey, listen, you know, this lady that got caught in this act, a sinful act of adultery, okay? And he says, and the interesting part is we sometimes glaze over really fast the second part. So what's the first part? He says, I'm not going to condemn you, but what's the second part that he says? But go and sin no more, all right? Now, the whole idea of accepting Jesus Christ into your life is we say, Lord Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner, and I accept you as the one who has taken my sins, carried away my sins, my past, my present, and whatever happens over here. I thank you for that, all right? So that's what the whole idea of accepting Jesus is. So I'm going to repent, and then I'm going to turn in a different direction because I've repented to the Lord. I'm going to go turn in the direction, okay? So if Jesus would sit down with you and he said, hey, I don't condemn you for your sin, you know that sin, but don't keep doing it, okay? So, yes, he's not condemning you, but better yet, he gives you a little grandma advice, don't keep doing it, don't keep doing it, all right? So, let me ask you all this question, what's holding you back? None of you, just me, but years ago, a few years ago, I just kept falling into this. I just would go do this thing over and over, this sin, okay? Sin, call sin, sin, okay? And I would just feel like I kept falling into the trap. I'd go, God, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. I thank you that I'm forgiven. I thank you that there's no condemnation. I thank you. But I was struggling with that. Anybody ever have one of those areas in your life you just keep struggling in, okay? This is the holy side, man. Nobody raised their hands. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Okay. So maybe for all of us over here, okay, it's time to say, you know what? Okay, God, I know I'm not condemned, and I thank you for forgiveness, no doubt, but Lord, it's time for me to turn, and I'm not going to do this anymore. Maybe it's time to say that. These guys will help you out later. Just write them down. Okay? So here's the crazy thing. We live in a world, well, like a Christianity in this world. I'm telling you, it's like this Christianity in this world, like it's okay to sin. Like, it's okay to do that. And it's okay to do that sin. It's okay. Mark, it's okay. You know, that sin, don't worry about it. Okay. Listen, guys. Oh, it changed? God said the sin in the old covenant was sin, right? God said sin in new covenant, we're living in that, is sin. He hasn't changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he said over there is still the same over here, all right? Now, yes, we live under a new covenant. Hallelujah. And there's a grace But still, sin is sin. Everybody just say, right, sin is sin. Sin is sin, I'm telling you what. So he still wants you to go ahead and admit, I sinned. That's you guys. Ready? Come on over here. I sinned. Okay? And go and do it no longer. But how many of you need some help? Not that, guys. Stand over here, my butt. No, okay. I love you all. Okay. So, but sometimes, you know, we need help. Sometimes we need help, all righty? And so go get some help. You all point your finger and say, go get some help. Okay. I'm laughing, but listen, go get some help. Find people that can help pull you out of that thing that you keep falling into, that you keep falling into. And you're sincere. God, I did it again. I'm so sorry. Okay, I know I'm not condemned. I'm trying not to do it again. Go find people that are not going to condemn you, that are going to help pull you out of that, okay, and hold you up. Accountability partners. If you got a spouse, fess up. They're your best accountability person, all right? Get help. We have a good dear friend. She oversees an AA group. What a good place if you're struggling in this area to get help, all right? So go find a person. Go get help. Go get help. Celebrate recovery. Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. All right, said enough of that. Moving on. We are in the Gospel of John. Turn over to Gospel of John chapter 13. 13, here we go. This is point number two. Give it to you. So this is the Last Supper. We call it the Last Supper. It's the last time he's going to hang out with his disciples, okay? John 13, starting in verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to his Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in process, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and he was returning from God. So he got up in the middle of the meal, took off his outer clothes, and wrapped a towel around him. Okay, so he's in the middle of the meal. This is a Passover meal. Okay, let's just say he's in the middle of Thanksgiving meal. You got a room full of people. He's got the 12 guys with him. And he takes off his suit coat, takes it off, and he grabs a towel, and he wraps it around him. Okay, you got this picture? Alrighty, keep reading. After that, so he's got his suit coat over here. He's wrapped in the towel. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Then he came to Simon Peter. Everybody say, I love just Simon. I look so good some days. Just tell you what. He came to Simon Peter, who said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Okay. I just imagine Jesus going, Simon Peter, I've just went around the room washing everybody's feet. Duh, I'm going to wash your feet, okay? But really, Peter wants to ask a different question, which he does. All right. Okay, where am I? What verse am I? Oh, here we go. I finished 6. All right. Verse 7. Jesus replied, You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. In fact, wash my head, wash my hand, give me a whole bath. You know, Peter, just okay. Keep reading, all right? Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. Then the Lord said, Simon, repeated, oh, excuse me. Did I just muff that up? Back up. Delete. Here we go. Okay. Wash my feet. Wash me all over, okay? Unless I wash you, you have no part of me. Then Lord Simon Peter said, not my feet, not my hands, you know, just wash the whole bunch of me. Okay, verse 10. This is really where I'm going. I just got dramatic. I feel like I'm in children's ministry. Oh, my gosh. I was tempted to get a bowl of water, Pastor Sherry, but I let you have all of that. Okay. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only wash their feet. those, their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said, not every one of you. Verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, he put his suit coat back on and returned to his place at the dinner table, and he said, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for this is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. Okay, verse 15. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. All right. Everybody say if. If. Interesting word. So he said, how about this? If you don't do them, then y'all not blessed. Because he said, if you do them, I always like to flip it. If you do them, you're going to be blessed. Okay. So if you don't do that, wash feet. Pastor Sherry, next week we have to have a foot washing ceremony. No. Because I hate to have my feet touched. No, scriptural. Let me give you scripture. Okay, back then when Jesus was writing this, well, when this was going on, they did not have sidewalks, blacktop. And they had no cars. And they had critters that are pooping on the floor and junk all over the place. And you're walking. Okay? And then I invite you to my house. And you come into my house, okay, with what? Dirty feet. So there was this, the lowest of lowest job that this guy had to have, okay? And he would bend down and he would wash your feet and dry them, okay? That was the servant of your house, okay? So Jesus says, hey, I am, yes, teacher, Lord, and master, but I am coming to you as a servant to wash your feet. Everybody say, servant, wash your feet. All right. Praise God. Servant. All right. And he's saying, go ahead. I'm a servant. Wash feet. Now, back up. If Jesus could have that conversation with the lady who's caught in the act of adultery, what would he say to her? Come on, you should read your notes. I don't condemn you, all right? All right, now, if he would come to us who are here in a local church, and did you know the statistics say that 20% of people in their local church serve, and 80% are so glad you 20%. 80% are like, yeah, because those 20% are doing all the serving, okay? So, if Jesus would come and sit down next to you, you know what he would say? We live to serve others. That's what that foot washing's about, guys. And we're not doing a foot washing, okay? We live to serve others. Write that down, okay? That's what we're supposed to be living for, okay? Now, if you went to a mega church, okay, you would walk in and you go, oh, I don't need to serve. Look at all these people. Whoa! And if you come here, we are not a small church. We are a growing church, right? And you could say, well, they don't need me. Look, they got these guys up here. And look, they had this, okay? All right, listen. The truth is, we are not serving because we need. We serve because God says everybody should have a servant heart. That's what Jesus had. That was the example. That's all he's saying. No foot washing services, okay? He's saying, okay. Sherry laughs because she knows, okay. Okay, stand focused, Pastor D. I'm going to tell a story, okay. But Pastor D, I can't. Because of this, I can't be. Okay. Oh, Pastor D, okay. I'm gonna just hear me. How about you look at it this way? Maybe if you saw a need, you'd fill it. I love all the people that come up to me in the many, many years. Okay, Pastor D, you know, you ought to do this. Pastor D, you ought to do that. And, you know, sometimes we have this dialogue, and I'm like, this one, you got to be nuts, no. But, you know, I'm like, okay, that's a good one. But how about you see a need, and you fill it, not Pastor D, not Pastor Sherry. Okay, write that down. See a need, I fill it. Okay, here's the second one. Just maybe have this thought mentality. I see a hurt, and I heal it. Now, I'm not talking about you come up and you pray for somebody and they get healed. That's not what I'm talking about. But you all notice this, but there are people that walk in here that they're hurting. They are hurting. And they might do the cheesy smile and maybe they're like this, okay? But they're hurting. So how about if someone reaches out and talks to them, loves them, says, hey, it's going to be okay. Let me pray for you, all right? So see a need, fill it. See a hurt, heal it, all right? So what would Jesus say? Y'all were created to serve one another, all righty? So here's my question. What could you do intentionally, not just because Pastor D asked you to do that, okay? Not because Pastor Sherry, but what could you do intentionally to serve others this week? I'm not letting you off the hook. This is your homework. Write this down, okay? What is God speaking to you that you could intentionally do to serve somebody, all righty? And I just gave you some ideas here, okay? Or does God want you just to come and come and come and sit down and come and sit down and come and sit down, okay? And I did not coin this expression, but I liked it. I think it was Andy Stanley. Consumer mentality. I don't think that's what you're, matter of fact, okay? So here we go. What does God want you to do? He wants you to have a servant heart. Servant heart. And look at the blue cards in front of you. All right. So, if Jesus came and he would tell this lady who was caught in adultery, what would he say? Come on, you should take your notes. I don't condemn you. All right. But don't go do that no more, okay? And what would he tell us if he'd come and sit down to us? It's time to serve. It's time to serve one another. And it looks all different ways, but it's time. Okay, here's point number three. Here we go. If you're taking notes, I believe if Jesus were to come and sit down and talk to you, he would say this: earth is hard. It's hard. So focus on heaven. All right. I've lived a few decades. I have never seen such difficult times. Never. Okay? And I know if you're older, like of ancient of day, you say, well, I was back in World War, and you know, thank you very much. Okay? But I'm not talking about wars. I'm talking about this society that we're living in, this culture that we live in, this culture. This culture is so against, is just against everything in this. The culture is against this, all right? If not, I don't know where you live. Can I have a room? Okay. All right? The culture is so against the Word of God, the Bible, okay? Now, so if Jesus would come and sit down to next to you and he would say, it's hard, but keep your focus on heaven. Okay, so what do you mean focus on heaven? Focus on the Word of God. Focus on the promises. Focus on who Jesus is and who you now are. Keep your focus on heaven. Put your finger up. Focus on heaven. All righty. Paul says in Colossians 3:2, think on things above. All right, so turn over to chapter 14, John chapter 14, okay? Jesus is sitting down again. This is the Last Supper, and he drops the bomb. I'm leaving. He tells his disciples, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And they're like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? Oh, my gosh, it's going to be terrible. What are we going to do? Okay. And he's trying to comfort them, okay? Trying to comfort them, okay? And you know what he would say to them? Keep your mind on heaven, okay? Get your lift your heads up. Okay? That's what saved with him. Okay, so let's read this and you'll see. Okay? John chapter 14, y'all there? John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Translations say mansions. I'm going for the mansions. I think that says wonderful. With a house cleaner. Okay? If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? Woo! Okay. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. How many of you are glad that he's preparing a place for you? How many of you are glad he's coming back for you? Woo-hoo! Okay. Take a breath. Here we go. Okay. And I will take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Okay? In other words, keep your mind focused on heaven. Okay? Now, the culture that we're living in, the society that we're living in, just that we're living in here, people are confused about, now, write this down, biblical morality. Come on, you've noticed it, okay? All right, and they're confused with that, and to the point where they're confused with biblical morality with political stuff. Okay, let me explain. That's not going to come out good. Let me explain this. Let's just suppose I'm going to preach on marriage. Everybody, we're going to teach on marriage, okay? And I'm going to teach on marriage the way the Bible says, not the way the culture says, right? Okay? So I'm going to teach on marriage the way the Bible says. So I'm going to start in the book of Genesis, right? Where we think that's where everything, the beginning is. And I'm going to preach on Genesis, and I'm going to say, God said he created a man and a woman. Who said that? God said that, okay? That's the gender deal. That's it. Okay? Who said that? God said that. And then we're going to keep reading in Genesis. It says, God said marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, the culture is saying something awful different. Anybody aware of that? Good. I was just wondering if you're living in that place or you're going to make a room for me, all right? Okay. Now, I don't hate anybody who has a different belief, but I got that piece of paper yesterday, and I said the word but. If you were at the ladies' thing, I said my favorite one to start with, but I am not going to change what I believe, which is the word of God. Some of you are like, okay, yeah, okay. I am not going to change what I believe so they can feel that I love them. I love people, okay? I don't hate people because they have a different belief. I love, matter of fact, I probably love them more. This compassion that I almost want to weep when I hear some things that people are believing. I love them more, okay? Now, but the culture we live in right now, if I say, I have an opposite belief than you over here, Michelle. You're going to say, oh, she hates that. You know, Pastor D hates because she has. No, listen. Okay, and this is the confusion that we see, okay? By the way, I am not called to politics, okay? I am called to be Pastor D. And by the way, if you read your Bible, Jesus was never called to politics. He poked a man, okay? The Apostle Paul was not called to be political. Peter wasn't called to be political. I'm not called to be political. But listen, I am called, and so are you if your name is believer, to believe the word of God, to stand on the word of God, and not change, okay? But we love people, all right? So what do we do when you don't like what's going on in the country? Huh? Oh, I'm going somewhere with that. So what do we do when we don't like what's going on in the country, okay? What do we do? My little coach over here, okay? Okay. I'm glad you asked. Let me give you a couple of options. Number one, pray. Novel idea. pray. You are a believer. You have access into the heavens of the throne room of God, and he hears you, and he moves by his word. So what are we going to pray about? We're praying about this country. Okay? You need to pray about this country. And you can pray this for everybody, but you're going to pray, Father God, that your presence, that there would be a revival in this land, Father, that they would people would just go and know Jesus, and it would change, and it would just infiltrate them, they'd change. I am praying for revival. Anybody else? Amen, Pastor D, I do. Okay, how about, what else should you pray for? I did this 2 weeks ago, and some of you got really quiet. We're going to pray for your leaders. And I had one person walk up to me later and said, it gets stuck here, Pastor D. And we chuckled. And I said, well, okay, I get it. But how about we do what the Bible says we should do? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Write it down. I'm not going to go into it, but 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul wrote this, and he says, you must pray for your leaders. And, you know, as we've done the research on, Paul was living in with the worst of worsters leader. And the guy after Nero was worser, okay? They were horrific. They would take Christians. And they find out you're a Christian, they'd have this game night in the Colosseum, and they take you and throw you in there so the lions would eat you up. Horrific. And then what's the one that they stake you on? Nero wanted his garden to be lit up. And they didn't have electricity back then, in case you didn't know. So here's the pathway. So he'd stake Christians, dip them in oil, and light them up. Gross. Horrific. I think they were living in worser times than we are here, okay? And yet, what did Paul say? Pray for your leaders. Some of you are like, golly. Okay, what else can you do? You are citizens in a country where you are free. You are citizens in a country where you are free. So you know what you need to do? Vote. Vote. Don't even tell me, because I might repent afterwards that I'm not voting, okay? Vote, okay. Though I get this. Sometimes I'm like, I'm trying to figure out who to vote for. Like, I'm reading what they're, and I can't understand what you want. What? What do I do? I get that, okay? So, we have this great thing called the internet. Hello, Google, okay? And do that, and you can go look up what they are and what they are. What they believe, what they believe. What they say they're going to do, what they do, okay? So, but I found out, don't do this 5 minutes before you're ready to go vote. I was like, panic, oh my God. So we start early, okay? But you vote, pray and vote. Okay, praise God. So what would Jesus do if he came down and he talked to you? One, he would say, earth is hard. No doubt about it. Keep your focus on me. Keep your focus on the truths. Keep your focus on the word of God. Keep your focus on who you now are and what you're called to do, okay? And hallelujah. Okay, next one. I'm not even going to go there. Here we go. There's this guy, Pastor Sherry and I got to hear. His name is Gerald Brooks. He's brilliant, okay? He's brilliant. He's a pastor. He's a teacher. And he goes around the country and he does these roundtable conferences for ministers. And we were so blessed a couple years to go to Lancaster. And since then, I've read one of his books. Watch this quote. Here we go. This is Gerald Brooks. If you and I know Jesus personally, earth is as close to hell as we will get. It only gets better. Okay. This is not hell. You may think this is hell, but this is not hell, okay? And you're not in hell, and it's only going to get better, man. Okay. So someday, because I'm a believer, I'm going to transition out of here. I'm going to heaven. If Jesus comes down before then, I'm out with him. If I die before he gets here, I'm still out. I'm going to heaven. That's the good news, okay? So I'm going to read it again. If you and I know Jesus personally, earth is as close to hell as we get. It only gets better. But, my favorite word, okay? If we do not know Jesus, earth is as close to heaven we'll ever get. It gets worser. That is why we give invitations. I'll give an invitation at the end of the service. If you don't know Jesus personally, Please, please. Okay. So, guys, this culture is whacked, okay, that we're living in, all righty? It is pushing distractions. It is pushing you away from God. It's pushing you away from the Word of God, okay? And because I've lived a few generations, some of you too, I remember when they took prayer out of the school. Now, my teacher in third grade, her prayer was really simple. You know, it wasn't Holy Ghost shouting. So it was good. And back then, we had about 35 kids in a classroom. Somebody told me they have, how many kids do you have in your class? 18. I was like, whoa, what is that? Okay, so you better pray. Okay, so they took prayer out because they thought, you know, we just know more. We just know better. We're going to take prayer out of the schools. And now they're pushing in some places to take you can't carry a Bible into school. That's a crazy culture out there, huh? All right, now, there's a war going on. It's a spiritual war. And some of you don't know that maybe you're on this side and you need to get on this side. That's all I'm going to say. Okay? Okay, Pastor D. Okay. All right. So, what does God say? God hates sin, but he loves people. Okay? He still hates sin, all right? And he is not a friend of sin. Like, come snuggle up with me. Nope. And you and I need to hate sin, all righty? So, Pastor D, you're getting all political. No, I'm trying to teach you a few things about biblical morality. And listen, God loves children. He loves children. And there are things going on that in the world that you and I, it's time to speak up, okay? I got a little political. Here we go. All right, moving on. Here's my question. Question. Who could you encourage today? Write that down, okay? Who could you encourage? Because somebody's going through it. Somebody that's here, somebody that you know, okay? Who could you encourage? Okay, moving on. Number four, here's my next one. Open up to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, okay? So, y'all remember the lady that was caught in adultery, okay? And maybe you got caught too in something, all right? So, what Jesus is saying, I'm not going to condemn you, but don't go do that anymore, all right? That talk about the forgiveness through Jesus, okay? And then, what would he say to us? I built you to serve people, all right? And number three, he says, listen, when earth gets hard, when it's difficult, keep your focus up here, all right? Here's number four, and I'm going to give it to you out of John 15. Well, let me read this. No, okay, number four, remain in me, all right? Remain in me. Let me read this to you. Remain in me, this is Jesus, this is red letter, he's talking about this, remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch bears fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches, okay? If you remain in me and I remain in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you know how many times he said remain in me? Five times, I counted. Five times. Okay, so here's the deal. The only way that you can remain in him, that's what he's talking about, remain in him. What do you mean, remain in me? The only way you're going to do that's two basic ways, right? Here we go. You got to read this. You got to read this. And then we did it earlier, thank you. Just worship, all right? Now, I can't take Wanda home with me to worship because Rich won't like it, okay? But I can have worship. And I don't always sing when I worship. I'm just going, okay? All right. So, remain in me, all right? So, how about this? Like, be aware of me when you walk through your day, okay? Be aware of me, all right? Now, years ago, those old timers, and I'm sitting here laughing, I'm going to be 70. Am I one of those yet? Okay. But years ago, what they used to call it practicing the presence of God. Anybody hear that? Practicing the presence of God. I think we got to get back to a revelation of practicing the presence of God. And what does that mean? As you're walking through the day, okay, as you spend more time in the Word. See, you know, guys, I don't sit down and read my Bible all day long. I don't. Okay, but I start every day. And you should say, thank God she does that. Okay. And I know, you know, because it says early in the morning, but, you know, then I was laughing. I was reading this last night, and Jesus, you know, he would take off from the 12, and he'd go up on top of the mountain, he'd pray all night and stuff. I'm like, no, I'm sleeping, okay? So I get up in the morning. So, but whatever you do, if you want to stay up all night and read the word, go for it, but if not, get up in the morning, okay? So practicing the presence of God, reading your word, worshiping the Lord, and let me tell you, you start doing that, more than your 30-second app. I mean, just sit down. There's some days I have a couple of hours to just spend in the Word. There's other days it's an hour, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, okay? The other days, what do? We push the thing on my phone so it's talking to me, okay? But listen, the more that you are spending time in the Word, it starts washing through you. It starts filling you up. The more that you're in the worship time, okay? You know what happens? You will start seeing things on the inside. Okay, that will grieve your heart. But if you don't have this word continually, you know, daily washing through you, you're like, whatever. But listen, you have a lifetime of spending time in the word and spending time in worship. You're like, man, that just grieves me on my inside. The Spirit of God on the inside, my spirit's grieved. Such as, has anybody ever something just really frustrated you? Like, what's going on out there? Jeez Louise, that just, you know, just gets to you. Okay, so what do? You blast them all over social media. You're like, argh. Okay, no. So there are things going on. Right? There's something going on that just, because you know the Word of God and you've had time with the Word of God and you're like, man, this is scratching me on the inside. This is irritating me. This is grieving me. So what do? Well, I'm going to remain in Him. Don't go panic out the door. I'm going to remain in Him. I'm going to let Him guide me, direct me, speak to me, and He's going to tell me what to do. And sometimes I got to sit there for a while. So all those people over there that are impulsive, like, okay? So you might just sit down for a while, and it might take a while, and God will speak to you, and He'll guide you, such as, whoa, how about maybe God starts speaking to believers that are mature in the Word, okay, strong in faith, to get involved in the political arena, because we need them. We need Christians to go, listen, I know the Lord Jesus, okay, and we're going to do this right, all right? So instead of, that political person, okay, I'm just going to write nasty things all about them and I'm not going to pray for them, you know, okay, so we are going to pray. All righty, I'm moving on, okay? The last verse in John 15, verse 8, John 15, 8. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Did he say a little fruit? Did he say one fruit? Okay. That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. How do you bear a lot of fruit? You got to remain in Him. You got to keep this Word of God, you know, get into it and worship, all right? So, I am so glad y'all came to church. I am. And then if you're listening online, thank you for listening. Okay. But this can't be your 1 hour for the whole week. That's not remaining in Him. How about this? Tomorrow do a test, and I'm only going to eat one meal for the whole week. I can't make it through half the day. I don't know about you. And some of you get, what do they call it, hangry? I need food. I'm going to faint. All right. So, how about we remain in Him? If you're taking notes, write this down. We are better joined with Him than we are apart. We are better joined with Him. Remain in Him. Join with Him, okay? Now, listen, I know we need each other. There is a community. There's a fellowship. We encourage one another. That's right, Ellie Rose. You tell them, okay? All right. So, but listen, when we remain in Him, the Spirit of God's going to start leading you and talking to you, all right? To good places, all right? All right. So here's my question. How's your connection with Him? And I gave you ways you can, you know, adjust it, but how's your connection with Him? Real simple. All right. All right. Here's my last story. My last story is about two sisters, and you probably know it, Mary and Martha. Okay, so they've invited Jesus over for dinner. Maybe they're going to go grill, all All right? So they invited Jesus over. So Luke, we're hopping over to Luke. Luke chapter 10. Here we go. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way, and they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him, Jesus and the disciples. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. All right. But Martha was distracted. Everybody say distracted. None of you got distracted. You were on the edge of your seat today. I could tell. I was watching. Nobody was distracted. Okay, moving on. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations she had to make. Okay, preparations. There's stuff that just pulls you here and there. Okay, John Bevere wrote a book a couple years ago. I have it. I also have the CD and the DVD. You can borrow it. It's called Good Versus God. There's a lot of good stuff, but maybe it's not a God stuff, because if it's not a God stuff, it's distracting you away from him, all right? And only you know this, okay? So distractions, all righty? Okay, verse 40, here we go. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had to make. So she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care? My sister has left me to do all the work by myself. Tell her to help me. You know, I'm like, she is calling out her sister to Jesus like none of us have ever done that in our prayer. Father God, open the eyes of my husband. He needs to get, okay, or Father God, you know, that woman you gave me, you need to, all right, none of us ever do that, all right. Distractions. And Jesus is like, you got it, girl. All right, I'm going to get on. No, he didn't do that. Okay, verse 41. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Everybody, only one. Right, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Okay, what did Mary choose? The Word of God, okay? She chose to sit at Jesus' feet. Listen, he wasn't talking about who won the baseball game. He's got a room full of people, and he is talking words from heaven from his Father, and Mary is just sitting there soaking it up, all right? So congratulations. Thank you for coming for church today. Because you're hearing the Word of God. Now, you're not sitting at Jesus' feet, okay? That's not what we're talking about. I mean, my feet. You're sitting at Jesus' feet. You're hearing the Word of God, all right? So, if Jesus would come and sit down and talk to you, and he would say, if it was the adulterous woman, what would he say to her? I don't. Okay, you got part of your test paper right, okay? And then he came and sat down. What would he tell all of us? Called you to serve. Serve others. And he'd say, man, Bubba, this earth is getting hard, no doubt about it. But what? Focus on heaven. All right? And then he'd say, remain in me. And here's the fifth one. He would say, live for what lasts. Live for what lasts. That's what we just read in verse Luke chapter 10. Okay. So now I'm gonna take you on a little side here. Here's my question. Are you running too fast? Okay. Some of you need to slow down. Some of you need to slow down. Who, me? If you ask that question, it's you. Really, okay? And if you're, just ask your spouse, okay? But Pastor, I was built that way. I'm on go mode. Pastor, I'm just fast all the time. Fast, I can eat faster than you. I can run faster than you. I can do this. I can do that. I'm faster, okay? But how about maybe you're running too fast? And God's saying, slow down. Okay? Anybody here? The Lord's already been talking to you? Anybody? Your spouse is telling you that? Okay? All right. Okay. All right. Okay. I will tell you, just because I've lived a few decades, you can only go so long, so fast. Okay? And God will not shut you down, but your body will do it. So, a friend of a friend, they were the one of those, go, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going. And she ended up with adrenal failure. It was her body saying, lady, you've just been going too long, doing too much, too fast, okay? So, I think this is my last scripture. I might do another one. Matthew chapter 6, here we go, and then we're going to pray. Not yet, Michelle. Hang in there. I got you. Michelle, thank you. No. Sit down. We're good. Okay. You can go ahead, Eff. I'm kidding. No, go ahead. Michelle, how old is Stuart?
Stuart is just 34.
I've known Michelle 34 years. We have been and done fun things. Okay, but thank you, Michelle. Okay. Listen to Matthew 6:31. So don't worry about these things, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Ooh, but I am a believer, okay? But your Heavenly Father already knows all you need. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God above else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Okay. So I believe that the Lord has been speaking to hearts today. I know that, okay? So maybe He's talking to you. It's time to slow down, okay? Got distractions and whatever. Maybe He's saying, hey, you need to get your focus back up here. Get your focus up here, okay? I don't know. So I want to pray for everybody because I believe God wants to help us. Yeah, He's a helping God, all right? And if He spoke to your heart, He wants to help you. So bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for Your Word that has brought light into our path. And we thank You, Father, that we bring those things that You have talked to us before You. And we say, help. Lord, we need help. Okay? And if earth is tough right now, Father, we're asking You to help us get our focus back on You. Help us, Lord, keep our focus on You. Help us serve others. Lord, help us not to be condemned. And definitely don't self-condemn ourselves. Help us, Lord. Help us to push that way. Lord, help us to remain in You. Lord, help us to live a life where we seek You and we bear much fruit for Your kingdom. Thank You. Let's just get quiet. Just say, it's between you and Him. You don't have to be a phony when you go to the Lord Jesus. He knows. Like, I'm good. God is good at it. Listen, just be honest with Him. Say, Lord, this is what You spoke to my life. This is what I need help with. Right? Thank You, Holy Spirit. I thank You. You're just speaking to our hearts. I thank You. You're helping us. I thank You. Just give us that encouragement, Lord, that we will live to bear a lot of fruit. Amen. All right. So, finally, if you're here and you're like, this is hell, well, I want to tell you there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, the Bible says. And it comes with a decision. And every day y'all take decisions, Two scoops of ice cream or one. I had to make a decision, went for one. But in the real seriousness of life, someday we will all die, we will all take our last breath, and someday you will stand before the Lord God Himself, and you have to make a choice on this earth who you choose. Choose you this day who you will serve. So I just want to toss this out because it's really important because I don't know, you don't know how this day is going to end, all right? So this is important. Who will you choose to serve? Okay? And if you choose to serve the Lord God, you will be welcomed into His family. You're given a place in heaven forever. So much and so good. But if you don't make any choice, you have made a choice. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Choose me this day. Choose Him. So if you're here, I just want to ask, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, to be the Lord and Savior of your life? If you'd say, Pastor D, I haven't, but I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you, Lord Jesus. I need You. I am far from You. I know that. So today is a good day. I'd like to pray with you. Real simple prayer. Jesus makes this, He's so simple, all right? Real simple prayer where you just Just repeat after me. Pray this from your heart, okay? If you know, and my second one is, maybe you prayed this prayer and you asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of life, but you have just distanced him. Like, he's out in left field, and you know that, and you're like, ugh, I got to come back. So, well, today's a good day to come back. Today's the day what we would say, recommit your life. Just go all in. So I want to pray for you. If you're here and you'd say, I have never asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, today I would like to receive him. Okay? Or you would say, Pastor D, I have just walked away and I would like to come back. Well, today's the day. So everybody, just say this with me. Say it from your heart. Okay? You just say it loud enough, and we're all going to pray it together. So in case you're like, I'm the only one. Nope. We're all going to pray this together. Everybody say this. Father, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I'm far from you. And I need a Savior. I need Jesus. And right now, I repent of my sins. And I accept Jesus into my heart. I accept him into my life. Okay. And Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And you came and you died for me. And then, God, you raised him up and you are seated in heaven. I know that's a lot. Okay. So, Jesus, I ask you into my heart. I accept you as my Savior. And I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the Bible says, if you prayed that for the first time, heaven has a bongo party. They just go bananas. They're like, yay, one of God's kids. One of God's kids has come back to the presence of God. And we love. So we have altar ministers that are going to be up here. They have a Bible. You know that thing we said you need to remain in? We have a Bible for you. We have a little book. So we would love to pray with you some more, give you that. If you are one of those that prayed that as I recommitted my life, no condemnation, right? You stand before the Lord, holy, blameless, pure, one of his kids. Woohoo! All right, so let's go live big for him. Everybody stand up. Father, I thank you that we have been blessed coming in, and I send them out blessed going out. I thank you, Father, their word of God transforms their lives, and they take it to people that you set before them. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if